Board?
I want to thank Billy for giving me a chance to do this. This is something I've actually thought about for the last 20 years. Really just didn't know how it all turned out, but the good news is I'm not doing this at his funeral. And as you know, we've been 19 years fighting a terminal illness, and you just never know when that may come. So what an opportunity when Billy Dempsey called me yesterday about this time and said, I'd like for you to introduce your dad. I said, right on, because he's sitting here with me this afternoon and live and well. So with that being said, most of y'all probably know Denny, know my dad. Dad's been a pretty much Jackson resident all his life. He grew up in Foxworth, Mississippi, Marion County. Went to Mississippi State, met a beautiful woman named Judy, and they got married. He graduated with an engineering degree in mechanical engineering and has pretty much been working for the Train Air Conditioning Company ever since 1966. So in August of 93, he had an opportunity to buy the company from the predecessor, and the first thing he did was call me and get me out of the banking business to come help him run the air conditioning business. So I've been working for Denny for 23 years now, and it's been a blessing in a lot of different ways. But Denny has three children. He has Julia, Julie we call her, and myself, and Will Terry. Will is our special family member with has Down syndrome, but has been a blessing in so many different ways. It would be a whole another minute of the covenant to go through that. But anyway, my dad, to have the opportunity to introduce him, to try to keep it brief, is a tough thing to just come up with where to start. I'll say this. I've been knowing my dad for all my life, but I've never known him as I've known him for the past year and a half through the company. A tragedy of sorts, but brought us closer together than we've ever been. And my dad, at the end of the day, if I had, you know, two words to describe Denny is that he loves Jesus. I mean, he loves Jesus. And I'll say a few things about, you know, his being a business partner with my dad. My best friend is my dad. He is the grandfather to my kids, all of whom love him dearly. Been praying for him for 19 years for his cancer to go away ever since they could just mumble the words. At age 2 and 3, I think, is when Anna Kate first prayed for that. So anyway, he's also my spiritual advisor. And as recently as this past Friday, just talking to my dad about things and what are going on in my life, he's there for me. My dad has never turned his back on me. And trust me, he's had plenty of times or plenty of opportunities to do that. But he's never given up on me either. And for that reason, I love him dearly, and I'm glad that he's here this afternoon, live and well. Not steal a lot of his thunder, but I'll end by saying this: my dad is known by a lot of different things, and a lot of you know him for one reason or another. He's an impact. He's an impact man. He's had a lot of impacts for a lot of different purposes, a lot of different people. But he's known to me by his mottos. He's got several mottos that are either embroidered in the framework at this house, or he just constantly says as he's doing his business. He works with me every day still. He's not retired. One of his sayings is, ride high and loosen the stirrups. And that means you never know what may be coming your way. You better be riding high and loosen the stirrups so that you can adjust and adapt when you have to. One of his more common sayings is, make it do, wear it out, use it up, do without. And I've known that one all my life, trust me. There's new toys that came around were rare, and that goes for the business as well. But I'll end by saying this. The motto that I know him the most by is, have more than you show, say less than you know, and praise God as you go. Because at the end of the day, if there's one thing that defines my dad, is that he does love Jesus Christ. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to him. And,
okay, y'all, we're going to have a fireside chat here. Unfortunately, I can't stand up very long. So I'm going to move this over here. Get that down. Get my assistant here to be sure that the mic is in. How about that? Everybody can hear on the back row back there? All right. Is this somebody's phone?
We're recording.
Recording? Uh-oh, I'm in deep weeds.
You're in deep trouble. So you're live.
I'll be careful what I had to say. But I'll try to share this reason why this is a fireside chat with y'all, maybe towards the end. But let me start just with a quick prayer. Y'all bow your heads. Lord Jesus, we ask that what I say would honor you today, and that the men here that hear me speak would be encouraged so that we can all serve you better. For we ask in your name. Amen. Lamentations 3:23, all of you more than likely know. The Lord's loving kindnesses never cease. His compassions never fail. They are new each morning. Great is his faithfulness. I took that particular verse on, strapped it on, I don't know, 30-something years ago. I was in a Bible study, not in this church, but part of the Bible study was Bible memory. I think this guy right here was more like my partner in learning that all those verses. Anyway, it seemed to me that God had just written that one for me. So I've always had it on in my bathroom on the mirror, so that I could be reminded each day of God's faithfulness. I would say that sometimes I forget the context in which that verse was given. Back in the Old Testament, in Lamentations, it was during the darkest hour of the people of Israel, because the Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar and his group, after a two-year siege, had broken down the walls of Jerusalem. They had broken through. They burned everything. They burned the temple. It was a pile of rubble. They took the Ark of the Covenant, along with everything that was bronze, silver, or gold, back to Babylon. And perhaps the worst thing they did, it was the third of their exoduses or their exiles. They took Israel's finest and best, took them back to Babylon. That was number three. The first one, Daniel, was part of. The second one, Ezekiel, was part of. And the rest went this time. So it was a very dark hour, the darkest hour I perceive in the Old Testament for the children of Israel, because the kingdom was over. I mean, it was kaflooey. It was gone. Yet God, right in the middle of this, had more than likely Jeremiah to write Lamentations. The middle of Lamentations, there it is. God's faithfulness. Was he faithful to the children of Israel that were hauled off to Babylon? Yes. Because as you recall, as we read through Jeremiah last year, where God promised that after 70 years, they would be allowed to come back. So God did not forget. God was faithful to the children of Israel at that time. He's also faithful to us. If you think about where we are today, I cannot think of any time that God has not been faithful to me. I cannot think of any time. And I think about those choices that we make, the life-changing events in our lives that we make, such as getting married or having children. Are those things that we don't make, such as if you had a child that was in a car wreck, paraplegic. Those things are things that we would not choose, but that we may have to face, and God is there to face them. So I was thinking about, for sure, 1969 was one of those times. I certainly didn't choose it, but God gave it to me. We had moved here back in 66, bought a spec house down on the end of Sunnyvale, a bunch of great neighbors. Our kids were walking to school. Things were fine. But like everybody else, in that particular neighborhood. It seems like you were either pushing a baby buggy or somebody was pregnant. Well, we were not going to be left behind, so what a life. Where Judy was pregnant, before you knew it, I was taking her down to Old Baptist Hospital, and I'm going to the eternal waiting room, which we didn't wait long this time. Doctor came out and said, you've got a baby boy. Well, I was tickled to death. I had a pocket full of change, went to the payphone, called all my family, called my good friends, then went in there to see Judy. Cranked that bed up so she could sit up, crawled in there next to us. In the next 20 minutes were more than likely some of the greatest times that we had during our 11-year marriage to that time, because we had Will Terry with us, and we dreamed about all the things that he was going to do. Well, about that time, the door knocks, in walks our pediatrician. He says, let's go down and check out your baby. So I jumped out of bed. We went down there and got Will out of the nursery, and there he is. Ugliest looking thing you ever saw. Thank goodness he was a boy. Looked like a little red bulldog is what he looked like. But very quickly, of course, our pediatrician had already seen Will. And very quickly, he showed me five physical characteristics that Will had. He says, I'm positive that Will has Down syndrome. And before my knees could buckle, he said, you and Judy have a quick decision to make in a hurry. He says, you can sign some papers, and Will will be taken by the state, sent to Whitfield, and your responsibility will be no more. Or you can take him home and do the best you can. That's 1969, and that was the best we had back in 69. Take him home, do the best you can. Well, I think I mumbled something about Will having a name now, and we take number two there. We would take him home. So I very quickly went in there to the phone, called everyone back, and then went in there to tell Judy. And as you know, most women have intuition about what's going on. She knew there was a problem. I crawled in the bed with her and put my arms around her, and we cried until neither one of us had any tears left over. And I'd like to say that, you know, at that time, I would be wise enough, smart enough to give, you know, well, this is what we're going to do. But I didn't know. We were scared to death because we didn't know what to do. We didn't know about God's faithfulness. We did find out later what he had done for us in preparing this for us. The next day was a new day, though, and we got our act together, got Will home, and looking back, what we had that God had prepared us for was amazing, because he gave us two families that were certainly for us. They circled the wagons around us in a hurry. Those good friends that we had in our neighborhood, gracious, they all came down to the house. And I remember Buford Yerger saying, Will belongs to all of us. And that's the way it's been. Will has always been special to them. They pass it on to their kids. Will is special. They pass it on down to their grandchildren. Will is special. It's still that way to this day. What a wonderful thing that God's faithfulness had prepared us. One thing I didn't tell you was the fact that at that time we were in a couple's Bible study. It happened to at this church, but here we were. And of all the books that we had to study was the book of John. So very quickly I learned about grace, love, and mercy that God had for us. And Orrin Swayze, sitting over here, came by at least a day or two later, shared Romans 8:28 with me. Never heard of it. All things work for good who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Well, one thing for sure, I love God. Still hadn't joined his church, so wasn't sure about this calling thing and Reformed faith, but that came later. But I believe that, and has always counted that one of the main verses in my life, that God works all things for good. So with that in my mind, I said, okay, Lord, we've got some work to do here, because all I know is, all Judy know is, that we are to do the best we can. Ironically, Judy being a school teacher, she understood about early education. Well, can you imagine that God got her and a little Catholic nun named Sister Serena Harkins. I'll get it out in a minute. Anyway, wonderful lady. And between Judy and Sister Serena, they started the Early Ed Center. I mean, Judy got the Junior League behind us. Sister Serena got us a house and the Knights of Columbus and some seed money. And before you knew it, by the time Will was 2.5, 3 years old, we had the Early Education Center going here in Jackson for all kids that were just fresh born up to 6 years old. Ironically, today, the first thing that you do if you have a Down syndrome kid, you give him physical therapy. I mean, fresh out, he gets physical therapy. And as soon as he can start grunting a word of any kind, you give him special speech therapy. Didn't have all that back then, but we had a start. Well, as soon as Will, of course, reached six, he's back, as we call, back to the back room. That's what you did with children back then. They were in the back room. They weren't out in the public. And lo and behold, our Congress gets smart and passes a law which I call No Kid Left at Home, as compared to No Kid Left Behind, as we had passed several years ago. But that was an amazing thing, because Will went from the back room doing nothing but getting into trouble to going to school. Picked up by a school bus, going to get his class. He went to PT. He went to the cafeteria. He was a regular member of Casey School. We had moved from where we were before, and there was Casey School, doing all the things that normal kids do. Well, you hear of unintended consequences. This was an unintended blessing. Because I do believe that God used this to change the hearts and minds of this, not just here in Jackson, but the whole country, when it comes to kids with mentally handicapped problems. Because the kids that they went to school with, this has been about 3 or 4 generations now, they know all about Down syndrome. They know all about other kids' problems, and they accepted them. So today, they're the ones we can take Will anywhere in we want to. And nobody stares or looks at Will. I mean, they've seen kids like this forever. It's been a wonderful thing. So God took that and was faithful enough to take what man had just for the education side. God took it and changed the hearts and minds of this whole country. I mean, it's just been a true blessing. Well, that gets you through age 21. So we'd be bebopping along there. We're not really worried about it. But there are some folks here in Jackson whose children were too old to go to school. They didn't have any siblings. They were worried about what would happen when they died. Well, they went up to the Bedour Center in Senatobia. And there, of course, they saw what they wanted, because it was 120 acres of land and $1 million that Fred Bedour or Fred's Dollar Stores had given them. Plus, they had a workshop that had lots to do because of Fred's Dollar Stores. Came back to Jackson, said, "This is what we want." I got involved a couple of years later. I think Chief Gardner, he was somewhere. He was one of our first presidents. That was the beginning of the mustard seed, which I hope every one of you know about, because it is a godly ministry that was started by those people there because of a need that they had. Well, we met once a month. The kids had a lot of fun because we had games and snacks and things. We did a lot of praying and a lot of talking, but we didn't get very far. It didn't seem like we couldn't germinate that dadgum mustard seed. I mean, it's just that big. And we put it in the ground and nothing would happen. So we went several years like that. And somebody finally said, well, maybe we got a problem here, because We're praying for a full-grown oak tree, and we call ourselves the mustard seed. Maybe we need to start a little bit smaller and see what can happen. Well, the president for that year was a lady, Ruby Bryant. Not Ruby Bryant, Ruby Watford. Ruby, we had a lot of Rubies back in those days. Anyway, Ruby Watford, she had a mother and a daughter that she was taking care of. She had been a widow for a long time. She was in insurance business. Business lady. Wasn't scared to talk to anybody. Well, her vice president happened to be me. So she got me by the scruff of the neck and said, we're going to go call on people and get some money and get this thing going. And sure enough, we did. We got some no's, very polite no's in the beginning. But we went to see Mr. Stuart Irby Sr. And he says, yes, you know, come to think of it, I've got a little house on a lake down in South Jackson. Go down there and look at it, see if you'd like to have it. Well, we loved it, but the neighbors had a covenant that didn't allow multiple whatevers. Anyway, we saw that that would be a problem, came back to him and said, thank you very much, Mr. Irby. He says, wait a minute, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you $50,000. Well, that, you can imagine, I almost fell out of my chair. That was more money than I could even imagine. And so we said, I tell you what, we'll make that a challenge fund. We'll raise another 50 because you've given us 50. And how easy it was with that first 50 as a challenge fund to raise the other 50. We did it, went out to Rankin County, bought a house and fixed it up and had a, it was co-op. Co-ed. We had the girls on one end, boys on the other end, which was a lot of fun. But, we bought two other houses next to us, got up to our eyeballs in debt. But we had to grow because there was a need there. And the one thing we learned very quickly on, we made a lot of mistakes. Goodness gracious, the mistakes that we did make. But God was faithful in everything covering for us because we realized that it was His ministry. You can't run a faith ministry like you do a regular business. You better give God all the credit for anything that's done. And that's the way the mustard seed has been run. Where are we today? We've got the best, I reckon, director we've ever had. We're sitting right back. Where is he? There he is. Bud Bratley back there. All of y'all know Bud. Bud is our director. Just to show you where we are today and where we're going. We're not stopping. We've got a boys group home. We've got a new girls group home. We've got a office and gift shop behind that old double wide trailer we used to have. We've got a new building for our that it increases the size of our activity building. We're in the process of buying another home next to us down there because we've got a waiting list. If we had a boys group home right now, another one, we could fill it up. Same way with the girls. Right there next to us, they can jump out the back door, get on the walking track, and be at the activity center in a couple of minutes. We know that that's a challenge we face. We don't owe any money. Can y'all believe that? That's how gracious the Lord is. I can remember those days when we got out of the bank, sign a note just to make payroll. God's taking care of all that. And we praise Him for it. Still got a lot of work to do. We still don't have that answer to those folks that don't have siblings or folks. What do we do when they get too old and they can't go live with the mustard seed? What are we going to do then? We want something that will cover them forever. And that's our goal. And we're going to do it because it's not our ministry, it's God's ministry. It's been a great thing. I forgot two things about Will. Let me go back and catch up. When he went to school at Casey, music teacher goes around all the rooms. She called us up one day and said, you know, Will's got music in him. We just got to figure out how to get it out of him. Well, she gave him a little $5 two-octave thing that she'd gotten at a flea market. And he started playing with one hand. And sure enough, He could play a tune. He could hear one and play it with his one finger. Well, I can say that today, I think the latest count was about 6 Casios, 5 Yamahas, and 1 piano that he has worn slap dab out. Because he does have music in him. He can hear songs, especially hymns. And he knows more Baptist hymns than you can imagine, because he learns them down at First Baptist every Sunday night when they go down there. But Will plays hours at the time. Thank goodness with his headphones. Otherwise, we might not be at the mustard seed any longer. But the other thing is that Will is a Christian. He's a member of this church. Because we had 2 elders that were very kind and loving and patient that tried and worked with Will to be sure of what he understood about loving Jesus. And they ascertained that, yes, Will does. Even though you ask him what, why, where, when, or how, he reliably get yes to answer whatever was there. But that's just the way it works when it gets up to his brain. You've got to figure out how to ask those questions. Well, that was all confirmed some years later when we took him down to Earl Fike's office there to get his heart checked out. He's lying up there on the table, all plugged in. The technician says, Will, I'm looking inside your heart. And Will, he's real silly, says, can you see Jesus? And the technician said, why? He says, Jesus lives in my heart. Can you see Jesus? Technician didn't know what to say. He said, yes, I sure can. Okay, that's all I want. He didn't get up, wanted to see, but he didn't do anything like that. That was enough. Will, Sunday, and that's one of the things that I look forward to, and I know Ford does, all of our family, is to see Will, not as he is today, but be perfect in every way. I've always said that he's going to get up there and tell Bach Beethoven to move over. There's a new organist in town. It's going to be a wonderful thing. Well, that's enough about that, about me. You wonder why I'm sitting here and can't stand up very long. Well, as Ford said, 19 years ago, I had a little prostatectomy. As they say, the operation was perfect. Patient didn't do so well because they found, of course, tumors in my lymph nodes. I had a Gleason 9 out of 10, which isn't good. You'd rather have a 1, but out of 10, I had to go for the goal. And back 19 years ago, there wasn't a whole lot. You had hormonal therapy, which would last maybe 5 years. This is average, everything that I'm saying here. In the 5 years, you became refractory, or what they call CRPC. And at that time, your cancer cells, what you've been trying to do is to, since it's just us guys here, okay. Prostate cancer, of course, the cells live off of testosterone. You've seen those ads on TV. Don't take this stuff, or don't rub this on you, whatever. That's true. Because that's what prostate cancer lives off is testosterone. Well, hormonal therapy is an attempt to get rid of that. Can't do it all. You have to take care of your adrenal gland also, which is producing it. You know, you never get to zero. And it doesn't make any difference because after a certain length of time, the cells are so smart, they start producing their own, if you can imagine. That way, they don't need you. All they want to do then is produce testosterone, grow, and kill whatever you call it. I forgot. Anyway, kill the person that they're in. That's prostate cancer. That's 19 years ago. I've had a guy that's been my doctor for 17 years now. I knew him when he was a young doctor. I still know him. He's a good friend today. He's world-renowned because he deals with nothing but metastatic prostate cancer. He is absolutely brilliant. and a good friend, and he's kept me alive. I kid him. I said, you've never carried anybody. He said, you know, you're right. He says, what are you going to do with me? And I said, well, he said, well, what I'm going to do with you, I'm going to keep you alive long enough that you die of something else. How about that? I said, fine, I'll buy that. And that's where we've been for these last 17 years. I can't tell you how many times I've been a guinea pig for this, that, or yonder. How many things that we've tried. Too many to count. I mean, I've got my file is about that thick. They're about to have to go to two volumes to cover me. But that's God's faithfulness in my life. He's kept me alive for a lot of reasons. When I look back in the 19 years and see how I've grown up with my grandchildren, how much they've meant to me. When I see growing up working with my son, which is a rare opportunity, and how much fun it is to have him as my best friend and to see him every day. It is God's blessing. It is his faithfulness to me. Where am I today? Well, next week I will have a year's worth of chemo celebration. Now, about all it's done is taken all my hair. It's growing back a little bit, and I'm looking forward to a ponytail someday. What it does, it, as you know, all of you more than likely have folks that have had chemo around you, takes it all out of you. I can't stand over about 5 minutes. I walk to my car out there. That's about it. But I'm good at sitting. I've become a sitter. I can't do things that I used to, and God has taught me that sometimes that's the best way, to sit and think and contemplate and thank him for the blessings of life that he's given me. That's where we are. How many more years is God going to let me live on this earth? I'll tell you this. He cures me every day. Taught me that some not too long ago when we were talking about curing and things like that. He says, I'll cure you every day, one day at a time. You're no different than the manna I gave the children of Israel that lasts one day. And when I'm ready, I will cure you permanently and perfectly when I take you to heaven with me. Don't know when that'll be. Don't really, like I say, I know that he has kept me alive for a reason. All of us have a purpose in this life. No matter where you are or what stature that you're in, you have a purpose for him. And he will let you know what that is and let you be a part of it. So closing, let me just tell you this. This is what I do every morning. I wake up, and I know that God has let me live another day. And I say four things. I said, Lord, this is all from Ephesians and Romans. I said, thank you, Lord, that you put my name. You knew my name before this earth was ever formed. You predestined me to be your adopted son through Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, you redeemed me at a terrible cost so that I'm worth a great deal to you and I should be acting that way in the life that you've given me. And lastly, Holy Spirit, thank you for sealing me for the courts above. Because there's nothing on this earth, under this earth, above this earth, that will ever separate me from Christ's love. I start every day off thanking that. Then get up and get to going. God's got a purpose for me. Live every day of it. I thank y'all for letting me come and share with you. Just know this. God is faithful to each one of us. Remember that when you're going through the good times and when you're going through the tough times. Thank you.